Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, we've got Jesse Agler all excited for a new season and a team full of new bats.
Right, but isn't that fun? Chicks dig the long ball and such.
We're also joined by Randy Jones, who's also excited by big bats, but is wondering where the real excitement over pitching is.
You know how when the Padres hit a home run here, you know, at a night game, or, you know, the fireworks go off, you know. Why can't we do that for strikeouts by the pitcher?
Pitchers and catchers report in less than a month. And now, it's time for Padres Social Hour from the Social Lounge at Petco Park. Here's your hosts, Jesse Agler and Randy Jones.
All right, I'm ready to go.
That's great.
If that doesn't get you fired up, I don't know what will. The 2016 All-Star Game is coming to that place. This place, Petco Park.
Oh, it's going to be exciting.
San Diego. Oh, my goodness. Randy Jones is here.
Jesse, good to see you.
Outstanding to see you, sir. Happy late birthday.
No, thank you.
You're very welcome. My goodness, All-Star Game, we'll talk a lot about that. We got a lot to discuss, obviously, but it has been a while since you've been on this show.
It has.
Blooper told me beforehand, this is your first off-season social hour. How is that possible?
Well, he called me a few times in a little conflict in scheduling.
Now, you're supposed to throw him under the bus. You're supposed to say he never called you.
I can't do it yet. It's too early. You know, you can't inaugurate the year by throwing him under the bus.
I would disagree.
You're with him every day. See, that's your dilemma.
Well, I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
How have you, Randy Jones, enjoyed this offseason?
Just outstanding from every aspect. And as a Padre fan, you know, as an employee and former Padre, it's all been good. I had a great time and spent a lot of time with the family and always liked that and watch the transactions just fly.
All right. Do you have a favorite move? Acquisition? How about that?
No, I don't think I have a favorite
acquisition.
You don't play
favorites.
No, I don't play favorites there. I thought where I got inspired is before AJ made one trade when he came in and evaluated maybe how we developed talent and brought in a whole new team of development people to re-energize that whole philosophy in how we draft players, how we develop players. That excited me before we made one move.
That's a very political answer, but it's also a very savvy answer, and it's also part of the answer to a fan question we're going to get to later on in the show. So I like where your head is at.
Hey, I was excited when we got Clint Barmas in December, okay?
Yeah?
That fired me up.
All right, you like shortstops.
I like veteran guys, you know, that have that ability to communicate and lead, and I think Clint
So
Barmas,
if I made you choose Upton or Kemp or Myers or Middlebrooks, I mean, is there one that you're going to say, oh, yeah, I'm really excited about?
Norris.
That. Norris?
Sure.
Behind the plate?
Yeah. Behind the plate.
Okay.
I mean, we have two new catchers behind the plate this year. Going to be interesting. You know, but Norris is going to be that leader. And, you know, I'm not real familiar with his background, but will be when we get into spring training and meet these guys. But, you know, I think that's going to be an integral part of what we do behind the plate is going to be important.
All right, so that's Randy Jones taking on. He's got the big bat, too. That doesn't hurt.
Oh, of course.
I mean, he's knocking him way out of that cavern up in the Bay Area. And you'd love to see him do some of that here in the southern portion of the state as well. All right, let's get back to the All-Star Game. And a little bit later, I want to visit with you because you've had some great All-Star experiences as a player. But what this thing is going to mean to the city and this town and this ballpark and this organization and this fan base, I mean, we're still, the announcement was a couple of weeks ago. It's January, and we are feverishly talking about the All-Star Game. That's not normally something that happens. It's usually a blip on your midsummer radar. But, I mean, this is really, really cool, and boy, it's about time also. I think so.
It's about time. You wait a decade for this beautiful ballpark, and I think overall, hey, I'm really excited this all transpired, is happening. and the energy level. I mean, I've already gotten three or four phone calls, and people asking me, you know, how do I get All-Star Game tickets?
That's it. They want the tickets.
I'm going, come on now.
Yeah.
We got a little time here.
The FAQ, that's Frequently Asked Questions, that's up on the Padres.com, on Padres.com. You can check out the ticket FAQ, because you're right. As soon as the announcement went official, that was the question that everybody wanted. How do I get in? Because it really is, you know, kind of a once-in-a-generation sort of thing. You have 1978 here, you have 1992 here, and now it's going to be 2016. There's not going to be a ton of people here, you know, July 12th, 2016, that were at the 92 and 78 games. There will be some
True.
Of them,
That's
which is
right.
awesome and good for you. But it's not going to be a lot of you. I don't want to say once in a lifetime, once in a generation, maybe overstating it a little bit, but not very often do you get the Major League Baseball All-Star Game in your home ballpark
you
with
bet.
The opportunity to go. It's
no,
going to be
unbelievable for the city and everything. By then, this boils down. We've got plenty of time to prepare.
Yes.
And you know we're going to do a major league job. There's
oh,
no
yeah.
doubt.
No know, doubt.
The Padres will get it done.
It was cool because you had the winter meetings here in December, and that sort of helped, I think, in a way, set the stage a little bit. People were like, man, this is a – from around baseball, everybody was like, this is the place to come. You know, I mean, that was kind of the thing. And that certainly didn't hurt with the All-Star process and the bidding process. But anyway, they were nice enough to allow Blooper and I to go to Arizona the day that the announcement was made, just in case the announcement was made, so that we would have video and all that stuff of Rob Manfred and Ron Fowler and everything that was taking place there. It was very neat. Seth put together this nice little video, Randy. And here it is, just sort of a recap of the All-Star announcement in Arizona.
I'm pleased today to announce that the 2016 All-Star Game is going to the San Diego Padres.
To bring the All-Star Game to San Diego, it's, you know, peak enthusiasm here, and we hope to maintain it for a long time.
Well, San Diego built a beautiful new ballpark, and it's really time that we pay the city back for the investment they've made in baseball. The Padres made a wonderful bid, and it was simply head and shoulders above any of the other bids we received, and we're really excited to be going to San Diego.
San Diego hosts big events, so it's a perfect kind of hand-in-glove fit for our city to have the hotels and the convention center and the ballpark in such close proximity. It was a great bid.
We are a perfect city to host an event like this, whether it's the Bay, whether it's Gas Lamp, you name it. San Diego is perfect for the All-Star Game.
San Diego is perfect for the All-Star Game. Well said by the executive chairman, Ron Fowler. So the game will be coming in July of 2016. And, yes, of course, it is not just the game. It's really the whole few days of festivities.
That's right.
You know, you got the Futures game, which if you're a prospect geek is a really cool thing.
You know, the celebrity softball game. That's always a lot of fun.
That's where I see you. That's I see
well.
You know, you get the sink. How do you sink a softball? What do you do?
That's lack of speed, man, and I'm used to that, so I'm right on.
you get the celebrity softball game, and, of course, the home run derby on Monday night and the game on Tuesday.
Well, and the fan fest, that and whole experience
the whole time,
throughout
yeah.
the week here in San Diego. And I can see the, you know, the Padres getting involved with Major League Baseball and making that really a fun experience here.
I want to see this building, the Western Metal Supply Company building, and we're down on the ground floor. I want to see this building bombarded during home run derby. I want to see those right-handed pull power hitters just launching them over this thing.
Okay. You know, my idea, of course, probably get me in so much trouble. Just
here we
that's
go.
Fine. Why don't we just have a little friendly competition like during Fan Fest? A barbecue competition.
A barbecue competition.
All the players that have established, you know, whatever they might market or sell in their ballpark. Why don't we bring them all in here for Fan Fest? And let's let the fans decide who has the best.
All right. I don't see why not. But you know what? I like your idea. I feel like that's something we don't have to wait till 2016 for.
Oh, true.
What do you think? We do a little barbecue competition maybe for charity this year, you and I?
That would be awesome.
All right. Let's.
Wouldn't that be fun? But
Seth, can you organize that? Are you?
Do I get to eat barbecue?
Yes, you get
yes.
to eat barbecue.
All
that's
the barbecue
his only
you
question.
Want to
do
eat,
I get
Seth.
To eat barbecue? That's what he wants to know.
Lord, that's the first thing he thinks of.
Yeah, he's going to shove his face.
You haven't changed a bit. So.
Yeah. What do you like? The brisket, the pulled pork ribs? What do you got?
Pulled pork.
Good call.
Cornbread?
Of course.
Oh, I'm getting so hungry right now. Got to give me some barbecue. Speaking of barbecue, Bill Center will be here later. We'll talk to him about San Diego's All-Star history, those games in 1978 and 1992. Bill, I believe, also covered the 1924 PCL All-Star game that was held down to – just kidding.
He had dollar tickets. Yeah.
It was a fifth grade field trip. It was a fifth grade
That's
field
right.
trip.
That's right. There you go.
So we've got Bill Center coming up in a little bit. Also, Josh Stein is going to join us, the assistant general manager for the San Diego Padres. We'll talk to him about, you know, actual the baseball team as we get ready for spring training, because it is going to be here before you know it. However, when we come back, Randy, you and I are going to talk about the 1976 All-Star game in Philadelphia that you started, and also the great Randy Jones All-Star trivia question concerning 1975 and 1976.
Oh,
you like
very
that.
Good.
Before any of that, though, it's time for the picture of the day presented by Sony. This picture was taken on the new RX10 Sony camera. Visit the Sony store at Fashion Valley to check out their cameras today. My goodness.
My goodness.
There you go. It's the new video board at Petco Park. It looks basically finished. Obviously, they got to plug the thing in. They got to build out the control room. But how big is this thing? Take a look at the Western Metal Supply. I don't know much about photography, RJ, but I know scale is a very important thing. So you got to find something to sort of compare it to. Look at the Western Metal Supply Company building, which is a giant building. And now look at the video board. It dwarfs this Western Metal building. Unbelievable. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. Talk about that 1976 All-Star Game started by this guy, Randy Jones, right after this.
Welcome back to your ultimate guide to the Padres offseason. This is Padres Social Hour,
the offseason special
from the Social Lounge at Petco Park.
Welcome back. Josh Stein, assistant general manager, will join us next segment. We got Bill Center coming on to talk about All-Star history here in San Diego.
That's so appropriate.
Yes, he's been here for all of it. And
no doubt.
Fan Twitter questions coming up a little bit later as well. But RJ, while you're here and while we're talking about All-Star games, and appropriately so with the 2016 game coming here, I want to revisit a couple of All-Star games with you, 1975 and 1976. Now, a couple of things here. One, I love like that era of baseball.
It's,
and
it
I know
was
a lot
a great
of people
era.
Do, too. It really was. So it's a great excuse for us to once again dust off some RJ All-Star highlights. So Blooper went into the archives here. And let's start with 76, the game you started.
Right.
You know, and it was Philadelphia, and it was the Bicentennial. President Ford throws out the first pitch.
Right.
I mean, this was not just any All-Star game, right?
No, it really wasn't. I mean, a special time for the whole country, and doing it in Philadelphia, and the celebration of our country was, it was special. And it was a lot of fun. And in my locker next to me was Tom Seaver, so Tom and I were together, you know, in the clubhouse. And I remember when the president came by and autographed baseballs for us and had a nice chat with him, and just some phenomenal things going on, and exciting. I mean, just a sellout crowd, and like I mentioned, I had a pretty good infield, as you can see. I had a pretty good chance that day. I had a feeling I might win that ballgame.
All right, so yeah, Bill wrote about this on Padres.com the other day. Really a fun look back at the game. So yeah, who were the four infielders behind Mr. Sinkerballer on the AstroTurf?
I got Pete Rose at third base. Uh-huh. I got Dave Concepcion at short. You know, I've got Joe Morgan at second. I've got Steve Garvey at first.
Yeah.
And behind the plate, I got Johnny Bench. So, I mean, who were the outfielders? I didn't care. You know, I really didn't care that day, but I just knew if you keep the ball in the infield, I had a chance. And they didn't disappoint, man. They played great.
I'm guessing there were some legitimate butterflies at the start of that
game.
Oh,
my, yes. Yeah, a great story. Pete Rose throws the ball around. He flips me the ball, and it's so noisy there. And he comes right up to me, and he goes, hey, you know, these 60,000 people don't bother you, do they? And I went, no. And he looked at me and goes, how about the 100 million on TV right now watching us? You know, and I went, thanks a lot,
yeah,
Pete. That's just
that.
What
yeah.
I needed. You know, and like I mentioned, you know, I was a little pumped up that first inning, maybe overthrowing the sinker ball a little bit, which is, you know, going to happen. But, you know, by the second inning, it leveled right out and, you know, just felt really at home.
So you start the 76 All-Star game. You go on to become the winning pitcher in that game, which is neat because you finished off the 75 All-Star game.
Right.
And you got the save there.
Yes.
So you're the only guy to kind of accomplish that double, the save 1 year and then the start and the win the next year. How different was closing out the 75 game to, like, starting the 76 game?
Oh, it's a whirlwind, you know, yeah. in the bullpen. And, you know, of all things, Andy Messersmith, you know, picked up the phone in the bullpen. You know, and Walter Austin just told him, he says, hey, give me that little left-hander, the curly-haired left-hander that gets everybody out. Walter couldn't remember my name. And so, you know, Andy hangs up the phone. It's got to be you, Lefty. You know, so, I mean, I warm up real quick. Next thing you know, I'm on the mound, you know, happening pretty fast. And next thing you know, three guys, three outs. Unique thing, Gary Carter, you know, actually a catcher playing left field, getting a little time on the field.
In his helmet.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he even had a hat, it looks like.
And it was just great. But, you know, it went by so fast, but so exciting. It was just great.
Really, really neat. So I guess if I'm thinking about and dreaming about, as I imagine a lot of us have, starting an All-Star game, when did you first look at the starting lineup for the American League in 76? And did it get in your head at all? Because you're knowing you're starting the game, and so you're knowing you're getting the cream of the crop right off the bat here in the first inning.
Jesse, at the point in time, if you go back, I was 16-3 at the time at All-Star break. I was having a pretty good year.
Yeah.
I didn't care who their lineup was.
Didn't even bother you?
No, not whatsoever. I don't remember really ever looking at their starting lineup.
Really? It just didn't even cross your mind?
No.
That's awesome.
You know, I knew I had to go out and stay within myself and do what Randy Jones does, and that's exactly what I did. You know, and it was just great. It was just a fun experience. Loved it.
One of the great moments in Padre history, Randy Jones closing out the 75 All-Star game and then starting and winning the 76 All-Star game. And, yeah, not a bad infield playing behind
him. Yeah, and really, really proud of all this. I mean, the first pitcher, I think, to actually pitch in 75 represent the San Diego Padres. And then to turn around in 76 and be, you know, the first starting pitcher from the Padres to start an All-Star game. I was really, really proud of that. I was proud to represent San Diego. It was cool.
And you should be, should have been, and it is neat, to say the least. All right, we'll have more All-Star memories with Bill Center coming up in a little bit. We'll talk to Bill about the games that were played here in San Diego. But thanks for going back on memory lane with us.
I'm excited.
The curly-haired left-hander who gets guys out.
Yeah, that's exactly what Walter Olson called me, and I'll take it. He gave me the baseball. I appreciated that.
Very cool.
That's cool.
Very, very cool. All right. Hey, I appreciate that. We'll take a break, come back, and we'll drop back into the present tense and visit with Josh Stein, the assistant general manager of the San Diego Padres. We'll talk to him about this crazy offseason and sort of the construction of this roster right now. You're a left-hander.
Interesting.
A lot of right-handed bats in this lineup, you would think, for the Padres coming up in 2015. We'll talk to Josh Stein about all of that. Meanwhile, if you want to come out and see that lineup in person, mark your calendars because single-game tickets will go on sale very, very soon. February 6th, single-game tickets. The full schedule, including game times, is now listed on Padres.com. And on the 6th, you'll be able to purchase tickets right there, Padres.com/tickets. Or, of course, you can call 619-795-5555, 619-795-5555, or Padres.com/tickets. Single-game tickets on sale February 6th. Of course, season ticket memberships are on sale right now. Take a break. Come back. Josh Stein talking some ball right after this.
We're back with more of Padres Social Hour, and the Padres are set to report to spring training soon. Get ready for the season right here with Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. Obviously, there's so much excitement about the All-Star game and everything going on right there, but there's still a lot of baseball to talk about here in Southern California, and it all seems to be revolving around this Padres front office. What a few couple of months it has been. Assistant General Manager Josh Stein joining us on set now to talk about that. Thanks for coming down. How much fun are you having this offseason?
Yeah, no problem, Jesse. It's it has been a fun offseason. I think that's probably an easy word to drop on. It's been a lot of work. I'll be honest. A lot of these ideas, a lot of the results, are often the product of weeks and months and thousands of ideas that you would throw up on a whiteboard. And I think part of what made this offseason so fun is a lot of times you put all those ideas up there and they never come to fruition. And we even had a number of those. Some that played out, somewhat publicly with our pursuits of different free agents and both domestically and internationally. But I think what made it fun at the end of the day was we were able to close a number of these deals and add a lot of players that we feel like are going to have an impact on us, very shortly.
All right, well, that's what it's all about. I'm going to throw some things out there. I think a lot of the fans, look, everybody's excited. There's no way to not be excited. But there are, points that I think are legitimate, things to discuss at the very least that the fans bring up. One of them is that you start looking up and down this lineup now, 1-8, it's a lot of right-handed bats. Is that a concern at all for this front office?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd say concern's probably a little bit strong. I think we we're looking to improve our offense, right? And we're looking, at a number of ways to do that. But really it starts with finding what we believe are just the best hitters in the game. And we went out and, felt like we identified a couple of those that both, in Matt Kemp and Justin Upton, You know, both are right-handed hitters. You know, Matt Kemp has not had traditionally, you know, large splits in terms of what he does against right-handed pitching or left-handed pitching. Upton does have larger splits, but it's not like against right-handed pitching he completely, you know, falls off and isn't a productive hitter. So, you know, I think it started really with trying to find as many quality bats, right-handed, left-handed, as we could. As we kind of continued on and you know, acquired Will Myers, another right-handed hitter. You know, we made the trades, you know, involving the two catchers, wanted to get back what we felt was a very, you know, bona fide, you know, young catcher in Derek Norris, another right-handed hitter. So I think it kind of came about really largely, you know, without a master plan of let's go find right-handed, you know, power hitters, but really with the idea of let's go find the best hitters we can. And a number of them have been right-handed.
Now, all that being said, it does kind of play into Petco Park a little bit. I mean, you think about, and I guess the quintessential example is Babe Ruth and, you know, Yankee Stadium, the short porch in right field way back in, you know, 19-whatever. That was because Babe Ruth pulled the ball to right field and they said, hey, let's make it easier for him. So, I mean, these guys, they kind of do play a little bit into their, or their strengths, I guess, play into this ballpark a little.
Yeah, a number of these guys have, you know, have a profile, have a manner in which they produce a lot of their offense that does fit with this ballpark. And, that, you know, again, that wasn't a specific kind of going into these trades. And I do think this ballpark, as we've made some of the changes over the years, is a little bit more, you know, fair for left-handed pull hitters as well as right-handed pull hitters. But, you know, definitely there's a profile of batted ball that in this ballpark, you know, very specifically isn't impacted by the elements as much as other balls. And, you know, whether it's Justin Upton or Derek Norris, you know, those types of guys specifically, you know, very much match that profile.
All right. As we are sort of now settled in between, you know, the main part of the hot stove season, not to say that everything is done, obviously, and the start of spring training, this is what I call projection season. That's a lot of what we read about online, are the projections, individual projections, team projections. Do those play any role in what you guys are doing whatsoever?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Not necessarily what's out there publicly, but certainly you need to be aware of where you stand. I think every move you make, you know, in an off season, you know, should be geared towards, you know, with a real goal or objective in mind. And sometimes that goal is, you know, quite frankly, maybe, you know, retrenching, stepping back and reloading or rebuilding. And at other times, you know, you're building towards what you feel is contention and a team that is on the verge of getting into, you know, to play the most meaningful games in October. So, you know, yeah, it's absolutely a time of year and you know, I should say it's part of this time of year, but, you know, when you start to see, I would say, the roster become more complete. But these kind of projections and these kind of ideas are frankly, they're what we do, and they're decisions that we're making year-round.
You kind of just alluded to it, but, I mean, I imagine there's a very large set of data that you guys have, you know, proprietary, whatever, that is not really the same as what we're reading on, like, Fangraphs or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of proprietary data that goes into what we do. By the same token, there's a lot of great information, and, you know, a lot of what's done on a website like Fangraphs or Baseball Prospectus or some of these other sites that are dedicated to you know, to really analysis of players and their performances, it's great work, and a lot of times it very much is in line, you know, with what we're doing kind of internally. So,
all right, projections are all about expectations. So let me ask, what are the expectations from this front office for 2015?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're making the moves that we've made, obviously with the support of ownership and you know, going after these types of players. If you don't have an expectation and an idea of competing, contending, of winning the National League West, and you know, playing deep into October, so that certainly is our, you know, that's our goal. You know, and take the field here in about a month. Pitchers and catchers reports. You know, I think that's certainly going to be, you know, a goal, and you can sense it, you can feel it in talking to the players, having been around teams that have had high expectations in the past. You always feel just a different sense. You know, when you talk to players and coaches and people, and you can sense that right now.
And that's definitely something the fans sense. I know that. Everybody's very pumped up, and they should be as we get ready for spring training. One last thing for Josh Stein, the assistant general manager for the Padres. We talk a lot about chemistry, right, as fans, Brockett. We love to talk about clubhouse chemistry, all that. What about front office chemistry? I'm lucky enough to get to know you guys a little bit. There is a tremendous assembly of personality up in this front office right now. And obviously there's guys that were here previously, yourself included. You've been here for a while. There's a bunch of new guys with the new general manager. What is the front office chemistry like right now?
I'd say it's strong. I mean, I'd say it's strong. I think that, you know, if you've ever, I mean, in any work setting, certainly if you've played on any team, you know what it's like to enjoy, you know, playing alongside, you know, certain people. And I think the same thing goes for, you know, work. And I think that, you know, certainly in our industry and, you know, in an off season like the one we've just had where, as I said, I mean, there is a lot of long hours and a lot of time spent, you know, working through each one of these ideas. You know, the people you work with, the, you know, that time you share, it's made a lot easier if there's a lot of, you know, a lot of respect and you know, you're having a good time and you're giving each other a hard time and you can dish it as well as you can take it. And, you know, there's a lot of that going on in our front office right now. And I think, you know, it's a testament to, you know, a lot of the people there, some who've been with the club for a while and then some of the newcomers and how they've assimilated.
Very cool stuff. It's been a lot of fun watching the whole thing come together. Pitchers and catchers just about a month away. Really, really exciting time for Padre fans in large part because of this front office. Josh, appreciate you coming down. Thanks so
much. Anytime, Jesse, yeah.
All right, great stuff. We'll take a break, come back more with RJ right after this.
Spring training is just around the corner. And right now, we're back with the only program that has the 2015 Padres covered. It's Padre Social Hour from the Social Lounge at Petco Park.
Covered like a blanket. Bill Center has joined us. Oh, my goodness. We got everybody here. We got Randy. We've got Bill. Happy almost birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
A lot of January birthdays.
Yeah, I know.
Here.
I'm not a big birthday person.
Pavakwa was on Friday.
Right.
So happy late birthday, Kurt Pavakwa.
Happy birthday,
Randy,
Kurt.
Randy, yours was earlier this month.
The 12th.
Happy late birthday to you. And Bill, yours is coming up. Happy early birthday.
What, bloopers?
Bloopers got a January birthday?
Yeah.
What was it?
The 10th.
January 10th.
The 10th.
Well, happy birthday to all of you guys. And to everyone out there who's got a January birthday. And February, for that matter. And any other month. Just happy birthday to everybody all the time.
Happy
Bill is here. We're
going
to put him on the Cholula hot seat. We're going to talk to him about a little Padre history. The two All-Star games played here in San Diego. And, of course, there's a third coming now in 2016. So, Bill, your memories of 78 and 92. And as someone, you know, who and I was joking about it earlier, but, like, who's been here a long time and covered these teams and this city for a long time, how excited are you and what does this mean for, you know, this city in 2016?
Well, I'm really pumped that they got the All-Star game, and I got to admit that previous ownership, which should go unnamed, when they made the statement that they really didn't care about the All-Star game, that sort of ticked me off for a long time. And when
they said that ticked you off?
No, almost everything they said ticked me off. But when Peter Seidler, when they got involved and they wanted this franchise, and they were very upfront saying, not only do we want the franchise, we want an All-Star game for Petco Park. And to me, that was the first rallying point that this ownership had. And, of course, now we see what they've done. I'm really excited to get back on point the All-Star game.
Let me ask you this. I think there's a group of people that seemed to think that it was an inevitability. And hearing from the Padres, this is not the case. I mean, but there are people that thought, well, of course there's going to be an All-Star game here. It's an unbelievable ballpark and an unbelievable city, but it does take more than that, I guess, as we've learned.
Right. You have to put a bid together. And the truth is, the truth is that two previous ownerships never even put in a bid for the All-Star game.
That is correct.
And not only did this ownership group, Ron Fowler, Mike D., Peter Seidler, not only did they put in a bid, but when the 2016 opportunity opened up, which wasn't originally open, they got together with the city and put together this bid in no time flat.
Yes, they did.
And it was not like, hey, they blew the other people. There were really no other bids together, and their bid was so comprehensive, it became, okay, this is going to happen. This is going to happen because of what they've done.
All right, so here we are.
They didn't have to, in 78, they didn't have to do that much, I don't
Well, 78, one of the things that when Kroc bought the Padres in 1974, he asked Major League Baseball, if we turn this around in San Diego, can we get an All-Star game in the next 5 or 6 years? Because, as you know, they needed to rebuild and resell baseball in San Diego.
Right.
And Major League Baseball, which it was a lot different process back then, said, sure. And that's how they got – that was part and parcel of the 78 game being here.
There you go. So that's 1978. Bill, your memories of the 1978 All-Star Game.
Well, I remember the day before because the San Diego actually got the right from Major League Baseball. Why don't you open up the practices to the public? And remember, they did it free of charge. And that sort of started the ball rolling towards FanFest and everything we have now. In the before 78, the game was played on the Tuesday, and then everybody went back to their teams. The Padres said, hey, we'd like to open the practices up. We want to make it a celebration for San Diego, which is what they did. And they drew a huge crowd, didn't charge, on Monday for the practices.
Yeah, it was just slammed. I remember that.
Right.
Yeah.
It was great. And there were, I mean, everybody, as the American League and National League players just came to bat for batting practice, there was no home run derby. The fans would just go crazy cheering. This is the day before. And that's what led Major League Baseball saying, hey, we got something else here besides just the game.
Yeah, kind of set the stage for everything else that would come, the 78 All-Star Game. In the 1992, of course, I'm thinking Tony Gwynn being introduced. I'm thinking Tony Gwynn coming to the plate as really the highlight.
Oh, that was the highlight because the American League swamped him in the game. But, yes, and Ted being here. The 78 game was an absolute celebration of baseball in San Diego. The 92 game was more of the entire All-Star game type package. I mean, 78 was an absolute party, and that's what I remember most about 78. And then the 78 game, the way the Padres, Dave Winfield, Raleigh Fingers, two players in the game, they played a huge part in the National League 73 victory. Raleigh pitched the last out. Winfield was part of the winning four-run rally, which was off of Goose Gossage, which is Goose didn't get anybody out, stormed off the mound, was not happy.
That's what happens sometimes. It's interesting you say all that because sometime in the last, I don't know how many years, so I'm not going to throw a number out there, but at some point the winning and the losing became less of a big deal. And I don't know if it was interleague play or if it was contracts or whatever, but it sort of lost its competitive edge a little bit, right? I think that's a standardly agreed upon thing. And then, you know, obviously the idea to have it count for home field advantage in the World Series was trying to, you know, maybe ratchet the volume back up a little bit. But Randy obviously having, you know, pitched in these games, like it was and for younger people maybe we don't realize, like there was a real sense of wanting to win this game, even though it was just this midsummer exhibition.
Early 70s, you know, and I was there. Yeah, definitely. It was intense, wanting to win that ball game. I mean, there was no doubt, you know, and I remember talking to Pete Rose and, you know, Tony, you know, Tony Perez, all the guys, everybody was fired up wanting to win that ball game.
Well, had you ever faced many of those guys before that you faced in the 1976 game?
No, not really.
Carew, yeah. LaFleur, any? I mean,
No.
So this is your first shot at them. This is their first shot at you.
Exactly.
And it's going to be their only shot for who knows how. I mean, there was no.
I mean, you might see them in spring training, you know.
Right.
But that would be it. You might see a few of them, but, you know, not enough to make any difference.
So I remember the 70s, the 60s, 70s, 80s, bragging rights were huge.
Yes.
And I remember when the National League had that long, well, they had won 13 out of 15, I think, at one point. And seven in a row, and you were part of that streak.
I was part of that.
And, I mean, and it really ticked the American League off. And the American League became, in a lot of people's minds, an inferior league just because of what they saw in the All-Star game and the World Series.
Yeah, and it's obviously changed over the years.
Yeah, and I mean, now everything's just sort of mishmashed together. And, you know, you used to have separate umpiring crews. You used to have separate league offices. You, of course, didn't have interleague play. And at a point, you didn't even have free agency, which led to a lot of the intermingling, I guess, of different ball players. But it's all sort of under the one umbrella of Major League Baseball right now. And I think all of that has sort of taken maybe, you know, some of the competitive luster off the game. But it's still such a spectacle and such an event that, you know, I mean, I don't care who wins or loses. I just love seeing a field filled with the best guys in the major leagues.
It's the entertainment value.
Yeah,
right.
You know, from the home run hitting contest, the game itself. You know, sometimes I wonder if the game itself isn't anticlimactic after the home run hitting contest. And
right. I want to go back to when you were a kid, before you were in the major leagues, and myself, and because I'm going to bring up a point with Tony Gwynn. Tony Gwynn, as a youth, loved the All-Star game in the middle of the summer because he wanted, like he told me, he wanted to see these matchups between hitter and pitcher, which he had never seen before. And I remember when I was when I was a kid, which was like way back when, but the 50s, the 60s, the All-Star game was huge with baseball fans. I mean, it was a magical night.
Well, number one, it was the best of the best.
Right.
You know, and it wasn't like we were swarming the TV with baseball then, Bill.
That's true, too. That's a very good
point. Nor anything else. I mean, you had your three channels for
exactly.
the most part,
right.
and that was it.
And now it's, you know, obviously
that's
all
a great point.
And, but, you know, in all of a sudden I get so excited because that game's on TV.
Sure.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Nothing looked even better than that black and white TV, huh?
We didn't have TVs when I was a kid.
You were listening on the old wireless.
Radio.
Yeah. All right. Well, very exciting. The All-Star Game is coming to San Diego again in 2016. Bill, as always, you handled yourself marvelously on the Cholula hot seat. Remind everyone that Cholula hot sauce is the flavorful hot sauce
good
with
job,
the iconic
man.
Wood cap for a bunch of delicious jalapeno and poblano. Check out the green pepper sauce flavor today. Green pepper sauce is outstanding. All right, good stuff with Bill Center. We'll take a break, come back. Randy, we're going to answer Twitter questions
love
from
it.
The fans. Always a highlight of the thing.
Always
meanwhile, Bill, this message is especially for you and the other Taylor Swift fans out there because more tickets have just been released for the concert that is here at Petco Park on August 29th. You can get your chance to see the seven-time Grammy Award winner. Purchase tickets before they sell out at Padres.com/Taylor Swift. New tickets released, the 1989 World Tour Taylor Swift, August 29th. Go to Padres.com/Taylor Swift. There are a few seats that have been released. Take a break, come back, fan questions. Not about Taylor Swift, more about baseball right after this.
Getting you ready for the 2015 Padres. We're back with Padres Social Hour.
The off-season special.
Discussing the off-season and everything else Padres. Coming to you from the Social Lounge at Petco Park.
All right, welcome back to the show. Randy Jones, Jesse Agler, thanks to Bill Center, Josh Stein, both for stopping by. I got some Twitter questions coming up in a few minutes. How about Max Scherzer to the Washington Nationals? 7 years, $210 million. Dollars.
It's the $50 million signing bonus that blew me away. I'm just sitting there, almost spilled my coffee that morning.
Everybody sort of breaks these deals down and say, well, is it really $210? Whatever. I think the lowest estimate I saw of like the actual value of the contract, the lowest I saw was $185 million. So Max Scherzer is a very well taken care of as a Washington National right now.
Nationals way to step up, man.
A lot of people are saying that's the best team in baseball on paper we head into spring training.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, but we moved right up there.
Yeah.
Right up there.
You got some good paper here as well.
Yes.
But how about they're talking about putting, like, you know, guys that are legitimate big league starters are, like, not going to fit into their rotation. Doug Fister, Tanner Roark, who one hit the Padres in Washington last year, he might be in the bullpen when the season begins for the Mets.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to earn a spot. And there's nothing wrong with that. And Tanner really had a good year. He looked great against the Padres, like you say. But he, once again, he did that. But I'm not sure for the Nationals, did he show that consistency that they're looking for?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had spurts where he wouldn't get it done. So, yeah, that might be the key right there.
Yeah. Or maybe they trade a guy away. Maybe Steven Strasburg is the odd man out. I don't know. The San Diegan?
Interesting.
Oh, I don't know. It seems unlikely, but it's kind of a fun thing to talk about. All right, let's get to some Twitter questions, and we'll start with our buddy Park at the Park. Hey, by the way, nice to see Park at the Park last Thursday night, along with a bunch of other Padres social media and bloggers. It was fun. We had a little get-together at Bubs Ballpark. Yeah, it was a good time.
Like
Park at the Park was there, and he asks us, Randy, do you think the Padres, speaking of a guy like Strasburg, need that top-of-the-rotation starter to get into the playoffs and make a run? So I imagine he is not trying to insult a guy like Tyson Ross or Andrew Cashner. He's thinking of a Shields or a Hamels or a Strasburg. Is that a requirement, you think, for a playoff run?
No, because I think that top-of-the-line starter that you're talking about is here. You know, it's just time somebody raise their hand and step up and be that starter that we know they can be. You need Andrew Cashner to step up and be healthy all year long. You know, give us 33, 34 starts like, you know, he wants to, but you got to stay healthy. Tyson Ross, Ian Kennedy as well. You know, and there's going to be some competition, which I just love.
Mm-hmm.
We have great pitching, but there's still going to be some competition for those five spots. And is Robbie Erling factor in being a left-hander? I don't know. Corey Lupke, Josh Johnson, are they going to be ready, or are they looking at May or, you know, a little bit later? Maybe they won't be ready in April. Don't know. A lot of question marks.
A lot of question marks.
But I love every question mark. I love those.
They're fun, and that gives us something to talk about. My answer is just sort of, I don't know that it's necessarily a requirement, but it sure would help. You add a guy of that caliber, any of those guys, whether you want to call them the ace or the top of the rotation or the support, whatever. Like, any time you have an opportunity to add somebody like that, it helps.
Oh, sure.
It makes everybody better.
There's no doubt about it.
So that could be very interesting. And that kind of leads us a little bit into these other questions. Ryan Cohen, our buddy on Twitter, and he says, would you rather give up, you know, your kind of collection of top prospects for Hamels? And obviously you're going to have to pay Cole Hamels a lot of money, you would imagine, with Philadelphia not willing to take on too much of it, I'd guess. Or would you rather just give up the first-round pick and the money for James Shields? So, again, he left the money out. I'm not going to because it's a big part of the conversation.
It's got to be a big part.
With both of those guys, do you have a preference there?
You think I would probably go with the RB guy and Hamels, the left-hander.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't want to see a lefty in that rotation.
But, I mean, when you put it in that perspective, what I'm giving up, you know, and I'm going to absorb $90 million in payroll. You know, I look at the business side of it. I think the attraction, I'll give them the first-round pick, and I'll take Shields.
Yeah, you'll just pay. I mean, again, if you can get Shields and Hamels, if the dollars end up being about the same, I think it's kind of easy.
Yeah.
We're oversimplifying this to an extraordinary extreme right now. But, yeah, I mean, if the money that you got to take on from Hamels is about what, you know, Shields would cost in free agency – well, then, yeah, why give up those guys unless you really like Hamels that much more than Shields? But they're both very good pitchers.
Yes.
Very good pitchers.
You know, veteran guys. But, you know, I still reinstate. I still like the idea of us using, you know, our guys.
Okay.
We have top-notch, you know, starting rotation. The dart top three, any one of those can step up and be that guy you need to lead the playoffs.
So you're going none of the above?
None of the above.
You're sticking with it. All right. You know a lot more about pitching than I do.
I strongly believe that, and And it depends on the health of a few guys. We have question marks. There's no doubt about it. So, you know, that's what spring training is all about. I'm looking forward to getting over there myself, you know, once again, and seeing these guys, meeting these guys, and just getting the general feel of the clubhouse, Jesse. I'm really excited about that.
That's a fun one you bring up, and I'm with you on that. And, I mean, we're less than a month away from the first full squad workout in Peoria. But not just the on-field stuff. Get the sense of that room, right?
That's
get the feeling of the clubhouse.
Really is. It's imperative to get that feeling. And it being there the last couple of years, you know, is there going to be a difference? What am I going to see? You know, keep an open mind about it. But, I mean, I'd probably look at it a little bit differently, being the veteran that I am. It's going to be interesting.
Very much so. All right. Andrew has a Twitter question as well. And he wants to know, will we see an improvement in developing minor league talent under A.J. Preller? Now, you alluded to this earlier on in the show.
And
Andrew, it's a good question. Now, look, obviously the answer is we'll see. But there are reasons to be optimistic and excited about all of this. And I'm gonna kiss some blogger butt real quick. Sackbunt Dustin, not to be confused with Sackbunt Chris. Sackbunt Dustin, last week on Padres Public, he wrote a really nice piece, I thought, that – remember back in time? Hop in your time machine, okay? We go back to when A.J. Preller was hired. What were we most excited about A.J. Preller? We were most excited about his ability to scour the international market and his ability to draft and develop guys. Now, here we are, you know, late January of his first offseason, and everything he's done has been like blockbuster trade. He hasn't even gotten down to the nitty-gritty. He hasn't even gotten to the things he's supposedly known for yet, and look how nice of a job he's done.
But he did before he made one transaction. I mean, you saw, you know, Randy Smith was reassigned in a different spot. What he did is he just re-energized player development by bringing in new faces, new people, new energy. You know, I don't care if it's coaching and everybody that's overseeing the roving guys. You know, he's revitalized that and to go out there and, you know, and reshape how you develop these players. He even brought in every single scout, everybody involved in the Padre organization over for meetings over in Peoria. Nobody's ever done that before. Gee, phenomenal idea. Get everybody on the same page, pulling on the rope together. If some guys had never met each other. I mean, those are the little things. I mean, having all the minor league affiliates that we have in here for a party, you know, to get to talk to each other and thank them.
I saw you there rubbing elbows.
It's right. And that was great energy. Great San Diego Padre, you know.
You're bullish.
Oh, I'm very, very excited about this year.
Me too, man. All right. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. We'll take a break, come back, wrap it up with Randy Jones right after this.
The Padres will be in Peoria, Arizona soon for spring training. But right now, we're back with more of Padres Social Hour from the Social Lounge at Petco Park.
All right, rolling towards a conclusion here with Randy Jones. Boy, that construction that is Petco Park is heading towards its completion as well. That video board just about all up, and then they get to plug it in and light her up.
Oh, man.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, Fan Fest is, right? It's going to be here right before the season starts. That should be a lot of fun. You get to see the video board in action maybe there. I don't know.
Little exhibition game.
Yeah, against El Diablos Rojos from Mexico City. Padres.com/FanFest. For those details, our next show will be on February 9th and then on to Peoria.